let me ask you this. Would you rather have 100 sales a day, right, with like $500 profit, 100% ROI, or would you rather have 200 sales a day with the same $500 profit and 50% ROI? You understand the question? Like double sales, same profit. What would you prefer?
Thanks for subscribing to the ZonCon podcast, the podcast all about Amazon conversations. These are the tips and tricks to become an Amazon millionaire. Here is your host, Andrew Erickson. He is all things Amazon, and so is this podcast. Let's have an Amazon conversation.
Hey guys, welcome back to the ZonCon podcast. I'm very excited. Today we are talking to Tomer. He is one of my longtime favorite people in the industry. I gotta say, Tomer, I've always looked up to you. You're one of my first, like, oh, I want to be like Tomer someday guys I met. Because I met you at China Magic, which is an event in China, obviously, long time ago, like 5-6 years ago. And you were one of the mentors. And I was like, man, Tomer, his brain is amazing. He's great at Amazon. And I got him to come on the podcast. Tomer has been selling for almost a decade. He's spoken at like a bunch of events. He's just all around amazing guy and just came out with a book. So Tomer, thank you for coming here.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew. Thank you for having me. I think I haven't seen you, obviously, like before COVID. I don't know where that was. I think it was like in the US or some sort of an event somewhere, I guess.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, I don't remember because COVID, I don't know. It was probably, if you subtract out the COVID 2 year black date thing, whatever, like it probably wasn't that long ago, but when you add in the COVID time, oh man, everything's like all messed up now.
Exactly.
So Tomer, why don't you give me I can tell everybody that Tomer is amazing, but why don't you also tell us a little bit of your background? You have like a fun kind of special background. It's not accounting or engineering or something boring like that. You have a cool background of where you came from. And then tell me a little bit about your last decade of what you've been doing.
Yeah. So sure. Before Amazon, I was actually a full-time magician. People are confused by musician, but no, I was actually a magician. So I did magic tricks for a living. I also did a few, I think, in China as well for everyone. So I'm also trying to kind of combine that on stages. And I think that's what kind of got me to start speaking. I started speaking without having any services or before I did any consulting or anything like that. So being a magician actually helped me a lot with my Amazon business. I realized that after the fact, but being able to really focus on customer experience and really being able to focus on like packaging, the inserts, the actual product to make it better, all of that, I think, really helped me. And I think whenever you are really good at something, like doesn't matter what it is, that actually affects everything else in your life. So I think being a magician really helped a lot here.
Love it. Such a cool background. And then what have you been doing the last 10 years? You have a bunch of you have launched brands and you're with aggregators and a bunch of other stuff like that too, right?
Yeah. So I started selling in 2015. I did ASM courses, pretty much everyone back then, I guess. Launched a few products. The first one kicked off. I was just lucky, I guess. Just launched multiple brands, really, because I basically saw more and more opportunities and expanded pretty fast, but made a lot of mistakes on the way. I had some failed products as well early on. What happened was I went to a lot of different events. I went to very expensive masterminds as well that I couldn't really afford, but I just wanted to kind of hang out the best of the best in the industry. And I learned that from going to like magic events and conferences and things like that to kind of improve my skills. And I realized that I'm just getting upsold and upsold and upsold again, 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 those events. And I was sick of it. And then I said to myself, I'm going to do my own event. And then I created Top Dog Summit. And that was first one happened in 2017 here in Israel. And we did three of those, like 2017, 18, and 19 were in Israel. And that was a lot of fun because the event was like sellers helping other sellers. It wasn't, we didn't have any sponsors. We didn't have any service providers kind of pitching themselves or selling their services to other sellers. All of the speakers were just sellers. All of the attendees were just sellers. And we really like vet every single person that came through the event. Just a few dozen people at the event. It was a lot of fun. And then we did another one 2 months ago in Bulgaria for the first time after 2 years of COVID. So that was a lot of fun as well. And that was the first time I actually allowed like anyone else to come. And I actually brought in two aggregators I've been working closely with for with both of them like over a year, And they both sponsored the event, brought a few people to the event. So that was a lot of fun as well. So yeah, I've been doing that. And then I've done consulting for the past 4 years as well for 7-8-figure sellers mainly. Been coaching them like small groups of like 4 or 5 sellers in a group. And it's a 4-month process with me. And I believe that having a mastermind, and I know you guys do that in Titan as well. I think having a small mastermind, a small group of people accountable for each other, helping each other out, just being open with their products is really important. And this is my tip to everyone. If you don't have, like, this is a very lonely business if you let it be. So it's really important that you just have a few people that you're just completely open with your products, with whatever it is that you're doing. Even if you have a team, even if you have some employees, you cannot really consult with them on everything, you know? So having a few people that don't have any hidden agenda or don't really want to pitch you anything, sell you anything, and just be your friend, that's, I think, really important. And it's important as well that they are at the same level as you are in. And that, I think, helps a lot.
I love that. Yep, I completely agree with everything you said. And I think the big thing there is like doing the power of networking. I know you said at the beginning that you went to these really expensive events and you probably had no business being at based on your level of education or revenue or whatever it is. But being around those people, or around the essence of those people, there's something special about that. So I absolutely love in-person events for the exact same reason. And I've heard nothing but amazing things about your event. I've never gotten to it, unfortunately, because it is pretty far away from me in California. But I promise you, Tomer, if you know, assuming you're still doing it in the future, I will be there at some point if I'm welcome.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely.
So, Tomer, one thing that's very exciting, you have all this like really cool background, the magic background, all the fun stuff, very, very accomplished person. And a special thing that you've done that is not done very often by people in our space is you've written a book. Yeah. I want to hear more about this book. What's going on? Why'd you do it? What's in it? Who's it for? Ride the Amazon Wave.
Yeah, Ride the Amazon Wave. So COVID happened 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. I was speaking in January in New York. That was my last time at an event. I flew back to Israel in March or April. I don't remember. I was supposed to speak at an event in Prague with Augustus. And what happened was COVID hit. I couldn't fly over. I was speaking at the event on the screen, and they actually had to cancel the event on day 2 and send everyone back home. It was a crazy event. Like, people told me that they were there and stuff. So then I decided, look, what am I going to do? I can do something big for this industry. I know you started this amazing podcast. I know we had some people doing like other things. Like I know I actually talked to Danny McMillan yesterday, and he did a podcast every single day, which was insane. So I thought, what can I do for this industry? Because I cannot go to events and speak. That was my main thing back then. And then I thought, okay, COVID is going to stay here for a while. I actually launched some products that are COVID related and made some money. But I decided to actually write a book because I was really focused on like helping bigger sellers, like 7-8-figure sellers. And I had a lot of beginners reaching out to me, didn't really have anything to offer to them. And I didn't really want to do like a course or anything. I wasn't really, and I also don't really like doing things that I need to kind of invest time all the time, like a podcast. I know how difficult it is. Like, I can only imagine how difficult it is to put together a podcast, and you just have to keep going and going and going. It never ends, you know? So a book is a huge project. It took me over 2 years to complete, but now it's done. Like, you do it once and it's done. So that's why I wanted to do a book. And also I wanted to do something that I don't think anyone did in the industry, which is write a book for active sellers. It's not a book for like how to sell on Amazon. It's a book for those that are actually already selling on Amazon. Maybe have a few products live, maybe have a VA or two, an employee, whatever, but they don't really, they want to take it to the next level, you know, and they want to see what their big sellers are doing. So whenever I talk to like a big seller, usually they know a lot about their own brand, like 1 or 2 brands they're running, but I've seen thousands of accounts by now. I've helped like a lot of sellers. Most of them I help for free, like one-on-one calls for free over the years. I've seen pretty much everything there is to see in this industry, and everything in the book is just condensed into it. It's over 300 pages long, took a long time to complete. This was the most difficult product I ever launched. You know, like I launched a lot of products, but this is by far the most challenging one.
I love it. I love it. And that's exactly who we like to talk to, are those 7-figure sellers, those people on the way to become Amazon millionaires, right? We define it different ways. A millionaire is either a million in revenue or actually Xing your business for a seven-figure exit, right? So that's what our tagline is, the tips and tricks and secrets to become an Amazon millionaire. So it sounds like this book is perfect for our audience.
Yeah.
I'm excited to read it. It's already on order for me. Can you give us a few little pointers in there? Like, what's something special inside the book that'd be good to talk about so that people can kind of get a little taste of it?
Yeah, definitely. I can say how the book is kind of split up. So the first chapter is just mindset, you know, and the mindset that I talk about is a bit different than most, I think, because when I kind of went into this industry, and I think this is still being said mostly today by most of the experts out there, that you should focus on building a real brand outside of Amazon, going to retail, Shopify, do all of that stuff, social media, you know, all of that is like, they say this is critical stuff that you have to do. And I'm like, you don't. So I'm all about, like, I went into this business model, not because I was passionate about my products. I was actually passionate about the business model of selling on Amazon. That's what I wanted. I wanted the simple business model. I didn't want to touch the products. I didn't really care. I'm not passionate about any physical product that exists, I think. You know, I have Apple products. I can't say I'm passionate about Apple even. So there are a lot more sellers like me on Amazon than there are those that are passionate about what they sell. Most sellers found a good opportunity to sell on Amazon and just kind of built a brand around that and don't really care about what they sell. So that's the mindset that I kind of went into this business. And I made a lot of mistakes on the way, tried to open a Shopify store, tried different routes, didn't really work for my own brands. So that's the first chapter. Also, the last chapter is a bit about mindset as well and kind of like scaling and growing and other things. And then the first half of the book is everything from product research until launch. So sourcing, product development, listing creation, like all of that is kind of the first half of the book. Third quarter of the book is about running the business. So like PPC, supply chain, KPIs. KPIs, I think, is going to be very different than everything everyone else heard until this day as well. Especially like bigger sales, I think, will get it. I think they will understand. We can touch a bit on that in a second if you want. Then the last part of the book is about building a team, processes, systems in place, exiting if that's what you want to do in your business. And then the last chapter of the book is like a bonus chapter, again, about mindset, but from a bit of a different direction. Like what happens after, let's say you exit, or let's say you reach a certain point, you don't need more money, right? You're like financially free. What do you do? Like what happens next? So I really try to touch on that as well, because I see a big void with a lot of sales once they exit, or even if they reach a certain point, all they really know what to do is just work or just search another brand and not really know what to do next. So I really try to focus on that at the end of the book.
I love it. Okay, so I want to hit on three of those points you just talked about. The one I want to talk about is why your concept of brand, which I think it's different, special concept that you have there on branding and social. Let's dive into that. Also, maybe some basic KPIs would be really good for us to monitor if you're again at that seven figure mark and trying to get up to the multi seven figure or eight figure mark. And then the last one I want to talk about is like post exit, right? The our why, because the big thing we talk about in our podcast is our why. What is it? Why are we doing this? What's our motivation, right? So we're going to start with those three things, right? I'm excited about this. This is going to be good. I want to know more about this branding thing. You don't like social? You don't want to be like TikTok and TikTok dancing all day?
Yeah. So social is great if it fits your brand. Right? That's the honest truth. I was a partner in a brand that we're selling water filters for refrigerators, like for Samsung, Maytag refrigerators that you put in for the ice. What can you do like socially? Who do you target? Who do you target like Samsung refrigerator owners? Like, what do? You have nothing to do in social media, but a product to sell on Amazon. I consulted recently an eight-figure seller selling similar products. So I mean, there is nothing you can do on social media. You can do some Google ads, but that's pretty much it, you know, and sending them directly to buy on Amazon. Even opening a Shopify store there maybe helps a bit, but it's not like people are not going to go into a Shopify store and be passionate about those products. On Amazon, you have subscribe and save, and that's kind of enough, you know, in that specific niche. So what I'm saying is it really depends on your product. And most products on Amazon that we sell are commodities. Those are products you cannot really build a massive brand around. And the way to kind of know, this is a very small tip that you can use, but a way to kind of know if your brand is like brandable is if you know of brands that niche. So for example, if we think about water filters, how many of those do you know? How many brands of water filters do you actually know? Probably zero. If you think about toys, like toy brands, it's also very difficult to build a meaningful brand in toys, because you think about Toys R Us, which is like a huge store, but doesn't really have, you have Lego, right? And you have maybe a few others, but it's still like very, very few. But if you think about makeup, for example, there are tons of brands you can think of. If you think about sports, there are tons of brands you can think of. So those are a lot easier to brand than other things, you know, like again, like mostly commodity products. If you think about party supplies, right? No one cares about if they bought like, I don't know, disposable cups, or they bought some decorations for their party. They're not going to go back and buy more decorations because they were nice. You know, it doesn't work that way. So for those type of products, building it outside of Amazon doesn't really make a lot of sense. Now, let's say you do have party supplies. That might work on TikTok, right? That might work on Instagram, and that's fine. But you should really look at it as what it is, which is party supplies, and just send them directly to Amazon to buy again. I think like if you have a Shopify store and you have an Amazon store and you don't really have anything on Shopify that is kind of like subscribe and save, or they come again to buy more of the same product, family, like the consumable product, then you should just send everyone directly to Amazon. Like ranking on Shopify doesn't really mean much. You should rank the product on Amazon instead. So all of your social media efforts, all of the Google efforts, everything should just send them back to Amazon. So I love, like, you can use social media, you can use Google Ads, you can do whatever you want, but you should really try to kind of bring the traffic to Amazon most of the time. And one last point on this, I think that, like, again, Shopify, if you look at Shopify as a business model, it's a very different game than Amazon. Amazon is like, you have one product, you want to sell 100 units a day of that product. Most successful brands on Shopify have 100 products on Shopify selling one a day of each. So that's usually the difference in business models. Or Shopify is like very expensive products, like let's say drones, for example. And you have a few drones and you sell them for a few hundred dollars. You get like a $30, $40 a lead that gets a sale. And that's how you make money on Shopify. It's usually very different products from Shopify to Amazon. And I think that's, I keep hearing a lot of experts saying, oh, you have to go into Shopify. You don't. And even if your brand does fit Shopify, all I can say is like, it's a lot more work. It's a lot of stuff you don't know how to do. It's like a completely different business model. So it's a different game. And same thing goes to retail. You know, like retail is a very different ball game than Amazon, and not all products fit retail. So yeah, I'm sure like if a seller comes to you from Shopify, doesn't matter, and they sell drones, let's say, and it's like me telling them, yeah, you should definitely go into Amazon with your product. That's probably not a good idea, right? So it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've gone back and forth on this so much because so many people tell me how great social is, and I've tried so hard to do it, and I've spent a lot of money, and I've hired a lot of experts, and I've done the thing, and I've gotten results, and those results are, it doesn't work that well often, you know? And people always tell me, oh, no, it's great, it's brand building. I'm like, okay, great. Well, how do I measure brand building? Well, it's, you know, it's a feeling. Like, well, okay, but we gotta, like, if I'm investing, okay, great feelings. Okay, but if I'm investing $5,000 in this Instagram account or $10,000 in this the custom Shopify theme, like, I need to see an ROI.
Definitely. And another quick way to kind of see, let's say you have five competitors on Amazon doing more than you, right? Making more money than you, more revenue. They have maybe even more products than you, a bigger brand, whatever. Check their social, right? Check how many followers they have. Check what's going on. Probably they have zero. That's like most likely. And also, like, I think sellers tend to think in order to grow from, let's say, seven figures to eight figures, they have to go Shopify. They have to go retail. They have to kind of grow outside of Amazon. The biggest sales that I know who've exited or not exited, 8-9-figure sellers are 99% on Amazon. That's like the majority of sellers that are in this industry.
Interesting. Yeah, that's, man, dude, you're speaking my language. And I've tried it, and it's hard. I feel like we were a lot more focused now on social because we started with social beginning.
Yeah, if you were selling makeup brushes, or if you were selling like sports gear, or like it's a lot easier, you know, it's just a lot, it makes sense. But for, again, most brands on Amazon selling commodity products, it doesn't really make a lot of sense.
Yeah, All right, there you go. Tomer's hot take on branding and social. So the next, I want to be mindful of time. So the next thing that I wanted to talk about are those KPIs, and then we're gonna circle back to that why, the exiting, and then what's our why after that. So the KPIs. So this hopefully very actionable content here. So you mentioned how someone would have a team and start tracking their business with KPIs. Can you give me a little introduction of like why use KPIs and maybe a few KPIs that are like really good things we should be focusing on?
Yeah, I really think there are three. I think like sellers are kind of, there are a lot of software out there that kind of focus a lot on data and just giving us data points and whatever, but they don't tell us what to do with the data. They just serve us data and we need to kind of figure it out, right? Should we raise the price? Should we lower the price? Should we like push PPC? Should we slow down? Like, so there are really three key KPIs you need to track: profit, sales, and ranking. That's it. Those are the three that you need to try to maximize as much as possible. And let's just talk a bit about ROI, okay? Return on investment. Because I think there is a big misconception out there about ROI and profit, and people are don't know what to do. Let's look at this example. I think it's in the book, I don't remember, but let's say we have a product that is $5 COGS. Okay, that's the COGS of the product. And let's say it's also making $5 profit per day, and I'm selling 100 units per day. So I'm making $500 profit per day, and that's 100% ROI, right? I'm spending $5, let's say I'm getting 10 back from Amazon. So I have $5 profit, $500. So then I have another example. So let's say COGS is five, profit is $4, and I'm making 200 unit sales per day. So I'm making $800 a day in profit, but that's 80% ROI, right? So which would you take, option one or option two in this case?
Maximize profit. So we'd want the lower ROI, but the higher volume.
So you want $800 profit, 80% ROI. So let's look at it. I agree with you, right? That's what we want. But let's look at one more example. So let's say I'm selling 1,000 units a day. So same concept, like $5 COGS, 1,000 units a day, but making only $1 profit per unit. So that's like 20% ROI and $1,000 profit. So which would you prefer, that or $800 profit?
Is this net-net or is this like we have marketing costs and overhead?
After everything, let's say after everything, but you only get $1 profit per unit.
Let me think about that. So net-net. Okay, so that's good. So after marketing costs, that's the biggest thing is I always want to have that ROI so I can have, obviously do the PPC marketing. We have cost of capital. So depending on what kind of access we have, so if you had zero cost of capital, then it doesn't really matter how much what your ROI is as long as it's positive. I don't know. I think I would still lean towards the $4 ROI or the $4 return, but technically the $1 maximizes profit. So Tomer, tell me, what's the right answer?
There is a balance between ROI and profit. Right, I agree with you. I would go with the $800, 80% ROI, but why? Right, I think the important answer here is why. So I'm trying to maximize profit, and for cheaper products like $5 COGS, I'm trying not to go under 50% ROI. Like 50% ROI is my limit. I don't want to go under it after PPC expenses, after all the marketing, everything else. So as long as I can maximize profit, I will do that, but not sacrificing under 50% ROI. So ROI is not really a number I'm trying to maximize. I'm just trying not to go under. So same thing is true with sales. So let me ask you this. Would you rather have 100 sales a day, right? With like $500 profit, 100% ROI. Or would you rather have 200 sales a day with the same $500 profit and 50% ROI? You understand the question? Like double sales, same profit. What would you prefer?
I would prefer fewer sales with the same profit.
I see. So, and again, that's kind of debatable, I will say, but I would rather have more sales because again, as long as I don't go under ROI. So let me explain. So the way I see Amazon is a big game. What I mean by that is that let's say I have unlimited cash, unlimited inventory. Okay. Let's say I don't have any cash restraints. I don't have any inventory restraints. I can bring as much stock as I want to Amazon or having a 3PL or whatever. So I prefer to sell 200 units because let's say that product, that pie of that product is 1,000 units a day. That's what it's selling on Amazon every single day. If I'm selling 200 units instead of 100, I'm making sales instead of you. So every sale that I make is a sale that you as my competitor don't make. I get more reviews. I get better ranking. Over a long period of time, a year or 2 years, I win, right? And again, let's assume it's the same profit. So in the 365 days a year, we are making the same profit, maybe in the first year, maybe the second year, but over time, I'm going to win. I'm going to get the Amazon Choice badges. I'm going to get maybe a bestseller badge. I'm going to win like long term. And again, I think that's why I think the important KPIs are, again, profit, ranking.
And sales.
And sales, yeah.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay, so you're saying that more sales, same profit, but more sales would give you more opportunity to dominate the market and therefore get more sale, well, more profit later.
More profit later because I'm ranking higher, so more organic sales later, right? So yeah, definitely.
Yep. Love it. Love it. Interesting. Okay, so keyword ranking. So there's 1,000 different ways to look at keyword ranking. Right.
Yeah.
And I've always had a hard time boiling it down to like one or two metrics. Right. I'm like, oh, well, I have my like 30 or 40 keywords I look at for that I have in my exact, you know, whatever my PPC campaigns. And then they're like my really my kind of core 24 keywords per product. Mm-hmm. And like I look at my rank and all those. But at some point I get to the point where I'm looking at 100, you know, if I have a dozen ASINs in my portfolio and I have 36 keywords I'm tracking, I'm at, what is that, 100, 200 keywords I'm tracking, and I can't look at it every day and every week. Like, I find it hard. So is there like a better KPI that we can stare at for ranking?
Yeah. So first of all, I think like most products have like between, I would say, 2 to 10 keywords that are making like 80-90% of the sales, besides like product display ads, besides like targeting products, like keywords, right, that you're targeting. And those are the important ones. The way to see those, by the way, just go to your PPC. Choose lifetime and look at your exact match keywords and see which ones you spent the most, made the most sales, and those are the ones that are probably like most important keywords in your specific product. If you're just launching, it's a bit different. It's a bit of guesswork, but PPC, like everything we're doing, like product research, listing building, all of that is guessing, right? We don't really know what's our main keyword until we actually launch and until like sales start to kick in for PPC. And then we should actually optimize our listing based off of the PPC results. So let's say you have a major keyword that's like the best-selling keyword for your PPC. You should probably put that exact match in your title or in a bullet point or both, right? To kind of improve relevancy for your product. So that's one thing I would say in terms of like keywords to track and keywords to kind of really push and kind of put and kind of stuff those into your listing. The other thing that we do from the very beginning, like I mentioned, is focus on customer experience. What I mean by that is we really focus on getting honest, true 5-star reviews from our customers. And the way we do that is we have a methodology called 6-star experience. So we basically aim for 6 stars to land over at 5. So we focus on like packaging, inserts, the actual product. We try to, every opportunity that the customer is actually using your product or opening it up, installing it, learning how to use it is an opportunity to kind of give them value. So that can be a humorous way to install the product. It can be a funny video. It can be an extra bonus inside the product. It can be like something they didn't expect before. Maybe when they open the packaging, there's something on the inside flap of the packaging that kind of puts a smile on their face. It can be anything, you know? So we try to really over-deliver with our product and kind of under-promise on the listing. And I think that really brings a lot of 5-star reviews. And what I noticed over the years is that the sellers that are ranking higher are the sellers that actually have more 5-star reviews, but not like in terms of numbers, but in terms of velocity. So let's say for every 100 sales that you sell, how many 5-star reviews are you making? So if you use, let's say, Helium 10 as a tool, so if you go to X-Ray, that shows you like how many reviews you got over the last 30 days and how many sales you got over the last 30 days. If you divide the number of reviews by the number of sales, that gives you a percentage. And every product is going to be different, right? Like if you sell a diaper bag, for example, it's a very personal item, so it probably gets a lot more reviews than like party supplies, right? Like as an example. So it just depends on the product, like how much reviews you should get. But that can be anywhere from, let's say, 1-2% all the way up to like 8-10% in terms of like review percentage, we call it. So you really want to check your competitors and then try to maximize that as much as possible by, again, creating a better experience than anyone else in your niche. And it's not only like more 5-star reviews, it actually helps avoid a lot of negative reviews. So let's say you have a surprise item inside of your packaging and inside of it, there is some pieces missing, right? Like the customer is a lot more willing to kind of send you a message or kind of feels obligated to send you a message now because they got more value that they didn't expect out of the product. But if they got less than what they expected, they're going to just leave a negative review on Amazon or do a refund or whatever it may be. So I think that really helps. And I think like sellers are really focused on being professional, and I think professional is just another word for boring. I think it's the same thing. And instead, you should be placed. you should talk to your customer avatar, right? You should kind of talk to whoever you sell to and just be a bit more witty and playful and do the things in a different way. And that is what creates that connection with your customers before they feel like the brand has a personality. You know, it's not like a standard brand you just buy on Amazon.
I love that. I love that. So we're trying to achieve that 6-star experience. I love that. Go above and beyond. So, man, I love it. There is some great actual content there. So think about how can we get a 6-star experience from people?
Yeah, there are just 2 chapters on that topic in the book. Like, I think it's the 3rd and 4th chapter of the book. And I think at the end of the 4th chapter, I actually ask for a review from you on Amazon for the book.
Nice. Love it. Love it. Amazing. Cool. Tomer, so we like to ask everybody their why, right? And so I want to hear a little bit about Tomer's why, but in a second. But before that, you mentioned that at the end of your book, you talked about this exit, right? The we have this big, we're trying to build this giant business up, and we're trying to go for this big 7-figure exit or multi 7-figure exit, and or 8-figure exit, whatever it is. And then when we exit, what do we do after? You hinted at that. So can you tell us a little bit about, in your opinion, what's the next step after that?
Yeah, so I think, like, as entrepreneurs, right? I think for most sellers that I know, this is their actual, like, first business. This was my, like, first real business. Being a magician is not a business. It's like a hustling or whatever. But so I call it like 3 different stages, okay? So the first stage, I call it junk. What I mean by junk is like you're eating maybe a lot of junk food, maybe you watch Netflix, you have some unsupportive friends, right, who are not really supportive of your entrepreneurship journey or whatever it may be. And that's kind of where you start, right? You start with that, some bad habits you want to kind of remove. And as your business grows, as you see some success, and that success can be in anything, that can be in your workouts, that like in your physique, nutrition, that can be in your business, whatever it may be, it kind of affects everything else, right? So let's say you are starting to see good results with your sales on Amazon. What tends to happen is you get to the second stage, which is called empty. Empty basically means you don't have any habits, you don't have any hobbies, you don't have anything else besides work. All you know how to do is actually just work and not do anything else, even not maybe spending time with your family or loved ones, or you just kind of let everything go. Maybe yourself go. I actually gain a lot of weight during that time as well. So that happens a lot. Well, I think a lot of entrepreneurs at that stage kind of going empty. And then I think the third stage is actually being healthy. And what I mean by healthy is actually getting new hobbies, things that you do. Like, imagine as an entrepreneur, something that you do, but you don't make any money off of, you know, that's a weird concept, right?
What?
That's what happens if you enjoy doing and not leveraging to make money. So hobbies, or again, nutrition, health, reading more books, right? Instead of just being in front of the screen or Netflix all day long, spending time with your family, kids, whatever kind of keeps you going. So I think all of that is like the third stage. And what I realized to kind of get from stage 1 to stage 3 is actually focusing on my spouse, my wife first, my kids second, myself as well, like in the first 3 as well, like my nutrition, my health as like the second or third. And then only then I make some money on the side, right? Like that's the last thing that I kind of need to focus on. And that really helps with everything else. Like as long as you did the first few, like if you neglect those, then all you're going to have left is your business. But then why did you start this business in the first place? You started that because of those few things. And I think people are really looking at like that mountaintop. They want to get to the mountain and they don't care about what they sacrifice on the way. But I think the way to the mountain is the actual thing. Like the journey itself is the important thing and not the top of the mountain, because you never reach it. Like once you reach the mountain, like you reached it, you sold your business. So once you reach it, it just something happened, but you don't feel like something actually happened besides like maybe having some cash in the pocket, but you had some cash before as well. So it's kind of like a weird feeling, I guess. I didn't exit any of my brands yet, but I know from other sales that I helped, like I know it feels weird, and most of them just jump back in without taking the time to kind of reflect and understand, because they don't have anything. They are empty, you know? So they don't have any hobbies, don't have anything. So they just jump back in and they don't even know why. But that's like the only thing I think that actually fulfills them. And that's why they think they do it. But it's really important to kind of build those hobbies, relationships, whatever, in the process. Like, I'm doing my best to spend time with my kids every single afternoon. I have three small kids, a newborn, 2 weeks old. So I have a 5-year-old, 3.5-year-old, and a 2 weeks old, and trying to do my best to kind of be there for them in the early stages of life, which we all know is really important for them. So, and they kind of grew into this business, right? They asked my dad, like, in kindergarten, and asked him, what does your father do? He said, oh, he works in coffee shops, you know, like, he has no idea what's going on. So, yeah.
Tomer, cutting deep there. That's good, man. I love that. Yeah, that's a big thing. So we ask everybody what their why is on this podcast, right? Because it's one thing I love. I love hearing the motivation people have on this. And one thing, it's a little like, you get a little addicted to that, like the growth and the numbers and the tracking and the ranking and all the fun stuff. And like, and then when hopefully if you do this correctly, the money comes in and it's exciting, accelerating. But then you kind of lose a little bit of focus on stuff and on what's important, right? Not necessarily your keyword rank. It's important for your business, but not necessarily important for your life, right? And so that's really good perspective. I love hearing that. And it's great, especially from a person like you. It's really good to hear that kind of stuff and to make sure we center ourselves sometimes.
Yeah. And I would recommend, like, what I'm doing, what I enjoy doing is kind of working in sprints. So I like having a project, like a master project that can be writing a book, that can be launching a new product, whatever it may be. But this is why I like the Amazon business model, because you kind of launching a product is a lot of work, right? Research, yes. Sourcing, product development. Once you launch it and once it kind of starts to take off, it's not that much work. Like PPC, supply chain, KPIs, whatever, that's kind of easier, right? If you're not launching any products, Amazon is a very easy business. Right?
Yeah.
Launching is what takes like most of your day, most of the effort, I think. And that's the heavy lifting in this business. So I think that's why we, as entrepreneurs, we love it, because we kind of like launching new things and new projects. So I really believe in like working in increments, in sprints, and then kind of relax a bit or take some time off, take a vacation. One of my favorite questions to sales is like, when was the last time you took a week or two off, you know, from your business without a laptop, like nothing? And they kind of like, they are really scared of that question, I think. They have no idea what to do. So, and I think that's really important.
Yep. I love that, Tomer. Well, you had a new book product launch and you had a new baby launch, right? Your newest launch there. So I think that gives us maybe we're getting some of that new daddy mindset here of like family centering on family and focusing on family and stuff like that. So I love it. I love it. We always like to ask people to share a piece of media and also one actual thing for Amazon sellers to do today. But I think we can combine those together. Tomer, tell us where we can get this book and tell us about the book.
Sure. So if you just go to Amazon, just type Ride the Amazon Wave or type my name, Tomer Rabinovich. That will get you to the product, basically. I know this podcast is going live during launch week. So launch week, Kindle is only $1.99. So you can just get the Kindle version or you can get a paper copy, hard copy, and it sells globally. So if you go to Amazon India or Amazon Japan or wherever, you can get a copy of the book. Also feel free to reach to me like anytime, Facebook, LinkedIn, whatever you want. There are also some more free content that you can access from getting the book. So all like live lectures that I've done, podcasts such as this one. So you can just access a lot more free content just by getting the book from me as well. And this is kind of my gift back to this industry that I was involved in for the past 7 years now. So I'm really excited for everyone to read the book. And also, if you can leave a review for the book after you read it, please don't leave an honest one. Just leave a 5-star review. That's great.
No, a 6-star review. Tomer, thank you so much. Very excited about the book. Very excited. Thank you for coming on. And Tomer, I want to say you're one of my favorite people in the industry and just keep on doing what you're doing. And thanks so much for sharing some of your wisdom with us.
Thank you so much, Andrew. And I hope to see you soon, my friend.
Hey guys, if you found value from this episode, I would love if you could tell the world. If you don't want to tell the entire world, I would love for you to tell iTunes at least. If you can go to iTunes, if you listen to this podcast on iTunes, go ahead and go leave us a review. I have a few here that are amazing that I love to read out. I read every single review that's posted. Go to iTunes, leave a review. Also, Spotify now is allowing ratings. So please go onto Spotify and super easy. You don't even have to write anything. You just hit 5 stars and leave that review. You know, as an Amazon seller, how important reviews are to your business. I am asking you, at the goodness of your heart, please leave me a review as well. Thanks.